We go and grab a quick bite.
We watch a movie, then fight.
We're the Fast Food Film Friends.
You're listening to Fast Food Film Friends, the podcast that is basically the same formula with some minor changes every time, but at the end of the day, it's always just about two guys fighting.
But this episode has no Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, God.
This week we're talking about Creed 3.
Ooh.
While eating KFC's Double Down Sandwich.
I'm so excited for this food, Nathan. I can't even explain it to you. From IMDb, the plot summary of Creed 3 reads as follows. Adonis has been thriving in both his career and family life, but when a childhood friend and former boxing prodigy resurfaces, the face-off is more than just a fight.
And from KFC.com, the bunless Double Down Sandwich features two 100% white meat fillets sandwiching two slices of cheese, two pieces of crispy hickory smoked bacon, and the Colonel's real mayo.
I love this sandwich, Nathan. This was a staple for me about 9 years ago when it first came out. I think it was 10 years ago.
So I've never had this before, and you told me for years that this is the most special sandwich in your heart. Why? It's, paint a picture of what role did this sandwich play in your life.
It's just perfect. It was a joke. It came out, and everyone was like, this is a joke. Like, what a stupid sandwich. It's going to be a messy disaster. And I think I was in high school, or maybe college. God, that math doesn't add up at all. College, I guess. Hold on here. It hasn't been around for 9 years, but it came out.
I think it's been gone for 9 years.
Yes, but it was out for a while before that.
Yeah.
So I think it was high school or college. But me and my friends would get this all the time. It is so good. The meat is tender, juicy, perfection. No bun. Who needs the carbs? You know, I think I was on paleo when this came out too. So I was like, cut the cheese. Give me just meat and bacon and some mayo, which I didn't count for paleo. But it was just so damn good. And I got it consistently. It was like my go-to fast food sandwich, and then they cut it and took it away from me, and I've been, you know, double down bliss for a decade, which is a sad way to live life. And I'm very excited for you to try this for the first time. I am concerned, as you know, fast food companies have been bringing back old things. KFC brought back their McDonald's brought back their chicken snack wraps, and they were a huge letdown. Not nearly as big, not nearly as good as they used to be. I'm worried the meat's going to be smaller. I'm worried it's not going to be as high quality. Everyone's cutting corners and cutting costs these days. So I'm a little concerned that the quality may have dropped and that you're going to think I'm not as good at reviewing fast food as as you may have thought before.
I think that our memories are all, you know, we have rose-colored glasses and we remember these things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is funny how, you know, in this nostalgic time, all these fast food places are like, they're pulling out all the stops. Like, what can we have one thing in our back pocket. KFC's had this for almost a decade. They know when we need it most, we're going to play that card.
There's just a huge button at KFC HQ that just says release the double down. I can't wait. I'm very excited. It's literally, we just ordered it. It's on its way. It's going to be fresh. I'm taking it from the door. I'm putting it into your mouth. There's no waiting. I'm very glad we didn't let it sit here while we're talking about the movie for a while. But I just can't wait. It took a lot of self-control to not order one of these before this episode. Yeah. I came very close, literally three times. I had it in my bag on DoorDash, and then changed my mind. So you're welcome for that.
And starting today, it's double downs every day.
Oh my God, it might be. If it's as good as it was, it's going to be a heavy staple in my diet for the next few months. And if not, I'm going to be very depressed for the next few months. So either way, I'll probably be very depressed for the next few months if I'm eating a double down every night. It's not going to be good for my mental or physical health. But I'm just so excited.
Sometimes when a person shows you one of their favorite movies, it can help you better understand what made them who they are.
It's like when I showed you Bedazzled from my childhood. Uh-huh.
I hope this one ages just as well.
I think Oscar winner Brandon Fraser stars in that. I just don't really know.
I think maybe the same can be said for a person's favorite fast food. KFC Double Downs literally helped make you who you are on a molecular level.
Yeah, I'm probably still about 10% Double Down. That's how much I put in. It's just, it's the perfect sandwich. Honestly, I think I don't know why any other restaurant didn't come out with like a similar thing. Nobody tried to duplicate it or knock it off. It's just so exists in its own space so well, and nobody has tried to touch it.
Well, I think the difference between, you know, you can't put like two hamburger patties on the outside of your bun or even two like chicken patties, because like those are foods that are not eaten on their own. a chicken breast is like, that's KFC's thing, is just a bucket of chicken. So like, it's not that weird for them. You know, it's dry. You can really handle it well. It's not like, you know, I know there's sauce and cheese and bacon, but it's a nice casing.
It is. It is, absolutely. And it's, innovation, man. It's amazing what people were coming up with a decade ago, you know?
On this episode, two former champs have come out of retirement. Creed and the Double Down. Will they claim victory? We'll find out. But the real winner is you and I.
I agree. I do agree. I was flying blind in the Creed universe. I don't know if there's a better word for the Creed universe.
I've been calling it like the Creed Rocky
Creediverse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had seen Rocky 1 and 2, I think maybe 3. I didn't even realize there were 6 Rockies, which is bonkers. And then I had never watched the Creed movies. And so in the last like 2 weeks, Aiden and I watched all 3 of the Creed movies, watched some real life live boxing because he was curious about that, and then played Fight Night on my PlayStation 2.
Nice.
So I've really just, I almost said dove in. I've dived into boxing fully in the last couple of weeks, and I love it. I think I'm going to start boxing. It just makes me want to, like, watching these movies and everything just makes you want to start boxing. But I liked Rocky's movies. I think the more ridiculous ones were the later ones in the series. So
yeah,
you watched all of them, right?
Yeah, I had never seen anything past Rocky 1 until about a month ago, and I've now seen all the Rockies and the Creeds. Also got really, really into it.
Yeah.
And it sounds corny, but like, those training montages, it inspires you.
Yeah.
It really does.
It does.
It's had a lasting impact on how I just, like, I don't think I'm going to go box, but like, I do. Like,
I saw you doing clapping push-ups during the Oscars in the corner. Just a whole lot of those.
I did one for everything that Everything Everywhere won, you know, which I think was 49.
That's right. A lot of clapping push-ups. So
yeah, the lead up to Creed 3 for me, it made Creed 3 really special for me, because I'm like, man, I'm really invested in this universe that, like, I didn't imagine myself being so into this.
Yeah, neither did I. Neither did I at all. And I think, you know, one thing I think Creed did a little differently than the Rocky movies is they've really progressed him rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
They're not stretching him out to 6 movies, I don't think. You know, I think this is going to be the last one where he's fighting.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. We can get into that
in
a bit. But I think they have big plans for this universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said, I've heard like rumblings of a spinoff for his daughter.
I think there's going to be shows, movies. Yeah. It's going to be, I mean, every studio wishes they had their cinematic universe. And I think that this actually maybe has potential.
I think it does. And yeah, after this one, I could see it going a whole lot of different directions, which I like.
We have a lot to get into. Mm-hmm. Now, between this sandwich and this movie, this feels like a special occasion already.
Yeah.
But to add to that, Kevin, it is now time to welcome KFC to the Fast Food Film Friends 5-timer Hall of Fame.
No way.
It's been a long while since a restaurant has entered the 5-timer Hall of Fame. Kevin, remind the listeners what the Hall of Fame is.
The Hall of Fame is, the 5-time Hall of Fame is any fast food restaurant that we have featured as a main food item on this podcast 5 times. So I think the first, obviously, to any familiar listener to join this club was Arby's, because the first 20 episodes we did were on Arby's,
yes.
I think.
We had a tight contract.
They had an exclusive deal for the first 20 eps. And then who else is in there? Taco Bell.
Taco Bell was the second.
Yep.
And this is the third.
Wow. What company KFC is in now? I love that. I'm very excited. I can't think of the other fast food items we've done from KFC though.
Well, you're in luck, because
that seemed like a really good tee up, like a setup. I want to remind people, this is an unscripted, chaotic show, and that just is the first time it's ever worked well for us.
KFC's first appearance on this podcast was episode 15.
Wow.
We reviewed A Star Is Born, and we ate KFC's famous bowl.
Oh, if you guys want a good episode and want to just hear two men gush about A Star Is Born, please listen to that one.
Your exact quote about the famous bowl from the episode: it is everything KFC does right in one convenient little bowl.
Yeah, that was, you know, similar nostalgic feelings for the famous bowl. I think the famous bowl was high school, the Double Down was college for me, but just loved them both.
We also had some of their chocolate chip cookies in that episode. Ooh. They were fine. They were maybe like a little dry. The chocolate chips were still good and soft. You said, quote, if my mom baked these things for me, I would not scream at her.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think they then put that quote on the box for the cookies.
Correct. Nobody's getting screamed at.
Episode 21, we ate KFC's chicken big box meal. Can you guess the movie we paired this with?
Chicken big box.
It contains one of those words.
Box, yeah, bird box.
Yeah, that's right.
Bird, the Sandra Bullock dumpster. That was like dumpster.
The biggest movie of all time.
Was that during COVID?
Or this was like 2018.
Why did everyone watch that movie? That was a huge release for Netflix, and it was so bad.
It was because it was hot off of the Quiet Place craze, and it was just like, it's like Quiet Place, but blind.
Yeah. God, that movie sucked.
The chicken big box meal is a 3-piece chicken, mashed potatoes, slaw, and a biscuit.
Classic.
You and I just chowed down hard. I said I felt like a Neanderthal in the best way possible.
Yeah, snapping bones, chewing them up.
You said, quote, there's a reason they built a restaurant around this chicken, and it's been going strong for decades.
Yeah, I stand by that.
You talked about your nostalgic affinity for their mashed potatoes.
God, I just love it. I want a famous bowl. I think I can tack on a famous bowl to our order.
You introduced me to the concept of a sloskit.
Yeah.
A slaw on a biscuit.
Yep. Fuck, I didn't get coleslaw or a biscuit with this order. I really dropped the ball.
Yeah, this was bad to do before, I mean, after placing the order.
It was.
KFC's third entry on our show. Episode 29.
Mm-hmm.
We had the chicken and waffles sandwich. I want to see if you can guess the... I don't think you'll be able to guess the movie. It's kind of a long shot. But what movie do you think?
The Long Shot?
That's right.
Yeah, that movie was good. I should rewatch that movie. I haven't watched that movie in a while.
That's the Seth Rogen, Charlize Theron comedy.
Yeah.
I think you liked it more than me.
Well, yeah, I have better taste.
The chicken and waffle sandwich. This is syrup-infused waffle buns.
Mm-hmm.
It was very dense, very greasy.
I remember how much that locked up in your mouth. That was... Ugh.
I said, quote, it's figuratively and literally hard to swallow.
It's a good quote.
That was the episode when you and I had KFC's dessert biscuits crafted by Cinnabon.
Oh my fucking God.
These are just 4 KFC biscuits smothered in glaze and frosting. Came in this nice branded square box.
It's like a Tiffany's box.
Yeah.
It was so good.
We loved them.
It was so good. Do they still sell those?
No, I don't think so.
God, those
are... You called it fucking genius.
Yep.
I just kept saying, oh my God, over and over.
Mm-hmm.
You suggested to Cinnabon that they make a standalone icing mix to, quote, put on your yeasty goods.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
It was one of my favorite things that we ever ate on the show.
I would fully agree. I would fully agree.
Only to be topped by episode 48. We reviewed The Invisible Man.
Donuts.
And a chicken and donut sandwich.
Donut sandwich. God, KFC just killing the game.
The box that sandwich came in was a pool of glaze. You and I lost our brain function in this episode. Your mouth was open so wide that a mixture of glaze and saliva just came pouring out. We lost all sense of dignity.
Mm-hmm.
That episode, this was pre-pandemic.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not quite pre. I think it was like...
Early days?
Yeah.
Okay.
3 years ago to the day.
To the day?
To right now.
No way.
This is how historians are going to track COVID.
Wow.
They're going to say, when was Fast Food Film Friends' 4th KFC episode?
Yeah.
And when was their 5th KFC episode?
It took us 3 years to get them back in rotation.
3 years.
And after that showing, too, like one of our favorite food items ever, the chicken and donut sandwich, which was just basically a chicken breast sandwich between 2 donuts, right?
Yes.
That's essentially all it was. And it was mind-bogglingly good. Like, it should not have been that good.
It should not have left the menu.
No. Oh, my God, that was good. And The Invisible Man. Like, what a pairing that was. We've paired it with great other than Bird Box. We've had a really good run in terms of movies and KFC pairings.
In that episode, our spoiler snack was the chocolate chip cake, which is an entire small cake in a sealed package. This was 3 years ago. That cake was $4.
Wow.
I think that's...
Wow.
Speaking of like a measurement of time, that's how the government tracks inflation. They're like, what is the KFC's chocolate chip cake?
Have we looked at what that costs today?
I don't know. After you took one bite of that cake, you said, quote, daddy like.
Yep.
This just goes to show how long ago this was. I contemplated asking KFC to cater my wedding. This is way back in the day.
That is way back in the day. I do want to say, apparently, it is still $3.99.
No way.
That's what people are saying.
Okay, so
Everyone, updated price March 2023.
This inflation nonsense everyone's talking about, it's not real.
Christ,
the cake is still $4.
Yeah, yeah.
How much do you want to bet that that cake is now half the size
of I would absolutely guarantee you. It's a little slice of that cake.
Because that was a big cake.
It was a full, we were both very surprised by the size of that cake.
You said, quote, buy this sandwich, go see this movie, buy this cake afterwards. It's going to be the best day of your life.
Yeah, yeah. God, I would kill for that sandwich. I would really kill for that sandwich again.
And it's all led us to this. Episode 73.
Yeah.
The KFC double down.
Oof. I hope that it's so good I'm drooling again today. I think I'm going to re-listen to that episode because I think we had probably the most fun that we've ever had recording an episode during the Invisible Man and the chicken and donut sandwich one.
It's really our best work. I think at the foundation of it all was the fact that we are in this very specific period of time where everyone was kind of losing their mind.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. March 13th, 2020, and we were
sitting there having
chicken and donut sandwiches.
Oh my God. Movie theaters were just shutting down.
Uh-huh.
Craziness.
Honestly, I remember thinking, if this is the last one we do,
yeah,
it's all worth it.
It is. It's a perfect way to go out. We should have stopped. Actually, we should have stopped then. There's no doubt in my mind.
It's been a real bell grab.
Peaked. 3 years later, rock bottom with the double down. Swapped out the donuts for more chicken. I think they should do a chicken and chicken, just three chicken breasts stacked. See how that goes with like some Cinnabon frosting on top, maybe.
While we wait for that food to get here,
mm-hmm.
What do you say you and I do some nimble news?
I could do that.
Nimble news.
Nimble news is the part of the show where we review all things new as quickly as we can do. New music, series, purchases, experiences, maybe even new food or movies that we don't have time for in our main discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, you ready?
I am so ready.
The clock is ticking. The chicken will be here any second now. Let's get these out, starting now.
Nathan, I tried Trader Joe's chips in a pickle, dill pickle chips. It's a mouthful, literally and figuratively, to steal your quote from earlier. I'm a huge fan of dill pickle chips. A lot of times, you know, I just love dill pickle. Like, I think I've reviewed dill pickle sunflower seeds on here that were a disaster. Anytime I see a dill pickle flavored good, I'm like, I'm going to try that because I love dill pickle chips. A lot of the time, I'm disappointed. You know, there's not enough dill or pickly flavor. There's just, maybe it's too kettle cooked. I think the kettle cooked ones really detract from the flavor. And, you know, it's been a while since I've had a chip that just like, oh, this is what I've been searching for years. And so, you know, got these, opened the bag, and I thought, wow, these look very unique. You know, it looks like somebody just sliced a potato on a mandolin and kind of, you know, salted them, you know, threw them in the fryer, whatever order that goes in. Smell was great. Hand feel was nice. Took one bite, and I think these are the best dill pickle chips in the world.
Wow.
Truly astounding how much pickle they got into these chips. Which I get why they call them chips in a pickle, because, nope, I don't get it, actually. But they are so fucking good. If you like dill pickle chips, if you've been looking for that chip to fill that little dill pickle size hole in your body, this is it.
It's called a spleen.
Yes, that's right. Trader Joe's chips in a pickle, dill pickle chips are perfectly baked or fried or however the hell they do it. I didn't read anything on the bag because I was too busy devouring every one of them. They're great. I actually have some left if you want to try some later. You are more than welcome to. But they're great. Go out and buy them.
You know, I think we all have those certain flavors, certain things that it's the pursuit of the perfect thing that is fun. That keeps us, you know, you try every dill treat, but almost nothing quite reaches the bar.
Yep.
Now that something has, I wonder if you're going to be like a dog that catches the car.
Yeah. You know, I don't even know
what to do. What do you do now?
I don't know. I got to move that bar up, I think, and find something even dilly and picklier. I also was out of croutons and used these as croutons in a Caesar salad. And it was fucking delightful. Also, the day after that, I tried Chex Mix as croutons in a salad and would highly recommend both of them. It's a great salty crunch. Phenomenal. Probably better than croutons, honestly. So get weird with your salads and throw some fucking snacks in there.
I think this next one would go great on a salad, too. Kevin, close your eyes.
Okay.
And picture a hot dog.
I hate how I hate how quickly I do that when you tell me to do that. You have trained me over 79 episodes to just close my eyes instantly when you say it. Like, the amount of trust I have for you is scary.
One of these days, I'm going to break that trust.
Yeah.
But not yet. Kevin, close your eyes and picture a hot dog.
Mmm. Lizzie.
Sitting on top of the dog is beer cheese,
yum,
grilled onions, honey mustard, and green onions.
Hmm. Okay.
And the meat between the buns is not a beef frank or a bratwurst. It's two breaded chicken strips.
Huh.
The concoction in your mind's eye is Buffalo Wild Wings loaded bird dog. I'm going to show you what this looks like.
Okay, I was just going to Google
it. For the listeners, just Google Buffalo Wild Wings loaded bird dog.
Wow.
How's that compared to what you imagined?
Pretty spot on. The honey mustard looks a little oranger than I would have thought. That looks fucking great, though.
This marketing photo is exactly what mine looked like in front of me, down to the overflowing honey mustard.
Okay.
It's like deliberately slathered.
Yeah, sloppy.
Other than the saucy wreck it made of my hands, it was really good. Mm. And the beer cheese and honey mustard were a tasty mix. The grilled onions had a little crunch to them. It's basically a sideways chicken sandwich,
yeah,
topped with the stuff you'd get with a German pretzel.
Yum.
And it worked. In addition to the loaded dog, they've got buffalo dogs and honey barbecue dogs. They look really good too. So next time you're at Buffalo Wild Wings, switch it up. Try a bird dog. Who cares?
I like the name. Nathan, I've got three shows to talk about. I can do them as individual NIMBYs if you would like.
No.
Okay.
Fire away.
I watched 2 episodes of Rian Johnson's show Poker Face, that is on Peacock, starring Natasha Lyonne. Rian Johnson, obviously, of Knives Out, Glass Onion fame. This show is great. I've really enjoyed it. It's kind of your classic mystery. You know, somebody basically dies at the beginning. You're not quite sure exactly what happened. She can tell when people are lying, is the idea of this show. She has a innate ability to tell when people are lying. She can't tell the future. If somebody says, like, oh, I'm going to do this tomorrow, and they're not telling the truth, she can't do that, but she can tell if somebody's lying or not. And she uses that. She's not like a detective or anything like that. But she's just kind of like, something's not right, and just kind of digs into stuff. And then usually kind of figures it out, pieces it together. Each episode's kind of self-contained in its own way. But I have really enjoyed the episodes that I've watched. It's a great watch. I literally bought Peacock just for this show.
That's amazing.
It is. I said I would never do it.
After the years of shit you've talked.
I know. I know. And I just signed up for Paramount Plus too. I'm losing it.
They should bundle all these things and deliver it to our homes in a cable.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea, actually. That's not a bad idea. But it's great. It's worth it. I'd say do your free trial. Get through the whole series. One season, I think. Next, still on my Marvel rewatch, chronological rewatch, or actually, I guess, first time watch with my son Aiden. And we finally got into Loki, the show, Disney Plus show, which I think season 2 is coming out soon. This show's amazing. I'm loving it. Like, there's nothing in the Marvel Universe that comes close to how much I appreciate this show. The storytelling's great. The production design's astounding. Owen Wilson's surprisingly good. The rest of the cast is great. But yeah, I'm just very surprised by Loki. I thought it would be dumb. And I'm really into it. Haven't finished it yet. These are all partial reviews. And I'm actually going to save my next show for my next NIMBY.
Kevin, you and I have talked before on this show about how these days, trying to figure out when a movie will be available to rent or buy or stream is aggravating. And intentionally so, because movie studios would rather you watch a movie now in whatever form it's currently available. If it just came out in theaters, they don't want you to know that it'll be available at home on demand in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
If it's on demand, they don't want you to know that it'll be on HBO next month. These release dates are planned ahead of time, but they're kept under wraps. Sometimes those dates will leak early from someone who finds it somewhere on a retailer's website or a streaming services site. And then once a release date is discovered, there'll be like clickbait articles like, when will Avatar 2 be streaming? And then you like scroll to the fifth paragraph and close 4 ads. And then it'll be like, either here's the date or it says, we don't actually know yet.
Yep.
It is a complete mess because there is no consolidated place on the internet for this information to live. Or at least I didn't think there was.
Ooh.
But then I found this Twitter account called When to Stream. And I wouldn't quite call it the exact answer to my prayers, but I think it's the best we're ever going to get.
Hmm.
So let me share the good news. The person who runs it, or team of people, I'm assuming does nothing with their life but constantly scour every corner of the internet for digital release dates of every new movie. And when they find one, they tweet it. Simple as that. You don't have to click a link to their website, because there is no website. The information is just right there in the tweet. And it is so great. If you're looking for a certain movie, you can just search their feed for a movie title, and it's right there. For example, I was trying to watch Women Talking, because it played in theaters for like a week. Last month I saw it was available for premium on demand, which is like a $20 rental. Oof. But then When to Stream tweeted, FYI, the price will go down a couple weeks on this date, so I waited. Yeah. And then they tweeted, actually, we found out it'll be on Amazon Prime Video for a limited time starting on this date. Cool. I never would have known that.
Yeah.
So I waited, and then last week I watched Women Talking on Prime, and it was great. And this Twitter account is great. They've been around for like a year, and they have a few thousand followers. They deserve way more, because they are doing God's work. Wow. So if you're on Twitter, follow When to Stream. If you're not on Twitter, you can just go to twitter.com/when to stream in your browser. I'm guessing at some point Elon will shut the gates and force people to log in to use Twitter, but it's worth it.
Wow. I just gave them a follow while you were talking. That's a phenomenal source of information to have. And props to whichever team of people is doing that.
It's already saved me dozens of dollars.
I believe that. As somebody who shares a Prime account with you, I've watched you waste so much money on movies that I know are about to be free somewhere else. And every time I just think, oh, that's stupid Nathan. If only he had better info.
You're like, Rocky Nine, huh?
Yeah. Nathan, I watched another show, kind of on a whim. And now this show lines up really well with the Double Down, because it's stars a lot of the same people who are in movies I used to love. These are movies that I don't think you're super familiar with. Are you're familiar with the Broken Lizard comedy troupe?
No.
They did like Super Troopers and Beer Fest.
Okay, I know Super Troopers, but no, I'm not like a...
I fucking love Super Troopers. I think it's one of the best comedies of all time. Same with Beer Fest, Slammin' Salmon, Club Dread. Their other movies are all excellent. I found out randomly, I was on HBO kind of looking for something to watch, because, you know, I got a lot of downtime to watch stuff. Don't have a long list of stuff that I should be watching, but I wanted something to kind of just have on, you know. And I found a show called Tacoma FD, which is from the same guys. It's about them as firemen in the western, wherever Tacoma is, Seattle, Washington, Tacoma, Washington. Sure. And I thought, I'll give it a shot. Came out in 2019, the first season. There's been three seasons, and a fourth season, I'm going to have to check on when to stream, is going to be coming out soon. Which surprised me. I was like, how has this stayed off my radar for so long? I turned it on, the first episode. It's pretty dumb, I would say. And I thought, so I started writing a NIMBY on this. I said, this show's, I'm probably not going to finish it. I'll say that I tried the pilot. And I said, if you think of each episode as a sketch on SNL, it's definitely tolerable, is what my first my first review was. And then I finished all three seasons in a relatively short amount of time. And it's just so much fun. Like, the characters are so ridiculous and absurd. The situations are also ridiculous and absurd. If you like Super Troopers or Beer Fest or any of their other movies, you will absolutely love this show. There's also a bunch of new people. Eugene Cordero's in it, who I really like. You'd probably recognize him. You might not know.
I know the name, yeah.
There's a guy named Gabriel Hogan who plays a character called Ike, who is possibly my new favorite comedic actor of all time. He is so funny. They have one episode, season one, episode eight, and it exactly mirrors the last 6 minutes of Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, like, to a word for word. They mirror it and incorporate same lines and everything. In the last minute of the episode, they just mirror the dialogue from the movie. But they do all these fun, creative, kind of one-off episodes. Tacoma FD, it's on HBO. The episodes are like 20 minutes long, and it is an excellent background comedy show. I totally take back my tolerable first review. You just have to buy into the ridiculousness of the characters. Or maybe still consider it like an SNL sketch, because that's essentially what it is. The production value's not super high. But it is so good, and I'm so glad there's another season of it, because I think it's slowly climbing up my list of favorite shows. Again, Tacoma FD on HBO, would highly recommend it. If we ever start doing homework handoffs again, I might do a few episodes of that for you. But I know you're still working on Succession, so.
I would say I have to check it out, but let's be honest.
I know you're not going to. I know you're not going to, but I really hope somebody in the world does. If you watch Tacoma FD, please send us a note on Instagram or Twitter or fastfoodfilmfriends@gmail.com. I need somebody else to discover the show and enjoy it with, because there's so many quotable things that I want to say to people, and I'm like, nobody has seen the show. I don't know how it's got another season coming out. I was like, who is watching this? Who's asking for it? But man, it is good stuff.
Kevin, one of the many reasons that I prefer movies over television shows is that 9 times out of 10, stories are better when they have an ending, not when they're canceled abruptly by Netflix or when they go on for 3 seasons longer than they should, but a purposeful ending to a narrative that is finite. And it's not just the ending itself that's important. You can feel the difference from the very beginning between a story written by people who know what they're working towards and have a limited amount of runtime to get there versus people laying the track in front of the train as it goes. But economic factors almost always dictate when a TV show ends, and that generally makes for bad storytelling. Once in a blue moon, you get a show like Breaking Bad, which was one of the biggest shows on TV when Vince Gilligan decided to end it because the story was complete. But that almost never happens, at least not in the US.
Yeah.
So I was surprised and encouraged to hear the announcement that a certain current show will be ending after its next season, its fourth season, despite being one of HBO's most popular series. To me, that indicates that the show is in good hands and that the story is sure to pay off. So, Kevin, I started watching Succession.
You have no idea you started saying this. Instantly, I was going to be like, Succession just said it's going to end after this season. And I was also going to bring up Breaking Bad as a perfect example of great TV. Frankie, I'm so excited. Yes.
Succession is a show that you assigned me to watch in a homework handoff, I think over a year ago.
The last time we had KFC?
This is a show that I had no doubt I would love. The only reason I put it off is because I knew once I started watching, I would not be able to stop. And those 3 existing seasons are 30 hours of TV. I could watch like 15 movies that amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not. Movies are on hold.
Yes!
While I devour Succession.
Yes!
Which is a show about a family of narcissists being stuffed into a pressure cooker along with cousin Greg.
Nathan, my body is so warm right now. My hands are sweaty. I'm just so giddy and full of excitement.
I love these characters so much, even though they're mostly sociopaths. Mm-hmm. But what makes the show so great is that every performance, every character, they believe that they are the hero.
Mm-hmm.
And as funny as the show is, it's not because people are giving comedic performances. It's because they're sincerely delivering lines that are psychotic.
Yes, yes.
Except Cousin Greg. He's just trying his best.
Cousin Greg.
I love him so much. If you haven't watched Succession, it is so smart and entertaining. I cannot recommend it higher. If you're already a fan, I'll be watching season 4 along with you.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, now that I have finally fulfilled that homework handoff.
Wow. Homework handoff's been on hold for a year and a half.
I've been sitting in detention for ages.
Man.
With this homework on my...
How far into Succession are you, can I ask?
I'm about halfway through.
I think I'm going to start a season 3 rewatch because I want to get ready before season 4. Season 3 is so fucking good.
If a day goes by that I don't watch at least one episode, it bothers me deeply. Kevin, my homework handoff for you. It's time for me to give you something to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a movie that I've mentioned to you a couple times, but now I'm going to mandate you watch it. It's the 2022 film I Love My Dad, starring Patton Oswalt as an estranged father who catfishes his son in an attempt to reconnect. It's available on Hulu, and I cannot wait to hear what you think 3 years from now.
I'm going to get to it right away. I do my homework. All right, I do it on time.
You're a straight A guy.
I'm going to watch it tonight. I'm not going to watch it tonight, but I am going to watch it. You have told me about this movie. I'm very excited to watch this movie. I'm just so happy that you're finally watching Succession, Nathan. I knew you would love it so much. And I can't. We should have like Succession Sundays once that starts coming out. And just because that show, God, I can't wait.
It's going to be really hard for me to wait a week between episodes.
Yeah.
Because I'm just powering through it.
It is not easy. It is not easy to wait. But that brings me so much joy. Well done. A+ on your homework, Nathan. A+.
Kev, that is all the time we have for Nimble News. What do you say we dig into those KFC double down sandwiches in Creed 3?
Let's do it. Oh, these have some weight to them, Nathan. I don't think they downsize too much.
So these come in these kind of like, this is the chicken sandwich wrapper of the day.
Every place has this wrapper, it seems like now. Popeye's kind of started it. It's like a foil-lined paper pouch.
I'm assuming this is what keeps the heat in.
Yes, it does. Keeps the heat in, which makes me happy. It still feels warm, still feels heavy. Now, Nathan, have you ever seen one of these in the wild?
I've just seen pictures. Never looked at one in real life, never held one.
Wow.
9 years ago, these things left the market. I was in grade school.
I don't doubt it. It's like a kid on Christmas morning. Oh, baby. Oh, daddy likes.
Wow. Okay. I don't have any frame of reference, but you were concerned about size. These are two large chicken breasts.
Yeah.
As a refresher, these bunless double down sandwiches feature two 100% white meat fillets, two slices of cheese, two pieces of crispy hickory smoked bacon, mm-hmm. and the Colonel's real mayo.
I will say it does seem slightly smaller. Mine does. I think you got two nice breasts. Mine's a little smaller. But at the same time, you know, I was a little tiny guy back then. You know, I didn't have these massive hands to hold these little breasts back in the day.
One of yours is a little bit larger than the other.
Yeah. You know, and that's perfectly natural. The amount of cheese on mine is alarming. There's a lot of cheese.
These things are overflowing. I mean, this looks like some... Is this Swiss?
Swiss or Monterey Jack? I don't see any... I don't know.
They don't specify.
I am going to grab a Lactaid after looking at that amount of cheese.
Here's my guess for this sandwich. Got the cheese and the mayo. I think that's really going to be a nice contrast with that crispy breading. Mm-hmm. I think that the bacon's going to kind of get lost in here.
Absolutely does.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm telling you, the star of the show is the chicken breast. It is tender, moist, delicious chicken. No bones to deal with. Just pure goodness.
Let's wait no longer.
Let's. We're definitely going to need more napkins.
I have always, for some reason, imagined the Double Down as a little handheld novelty.
Mm-mm.
This is an absolute feast.
Yeah.
Of a sandwich.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful.
I mean, once you get like these little pockets of the sauce and the cheese, the bacon does kind of come through. But man, it's behemoth. It's massive. It's hard to get a good bite. Mm. It's been so long, my friend.
Tell me, what's flashing before your eyes right now?
Old friends, you know, acquaintances of years past. Driving around in parents' cars, which probably just left crumbs and chicken everywhere, but not really giving a shit. Eating these hungover was great. Eating these on the way to a party was great.
You bookend it.
Yeah, you really do.
Just like great. The sandwich bookending.
Yep. No bread. Just meat. For the number of ingredients involved in this, it's astounding how good it is. Like, it shouldn't be this complex of a flavor profile, but it's the breading, it's the tender inside of the meat, that cheese, the sauce, the bacon. It's just a symphony.
I think that the bacon is actually surprisingly important to that symphony. The texture, I do think, is kind of lost, but the flavor, you really notice it's there. I mean, it's good bacon. It's thin, but the flavor comes through.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, this thing's got to have 50 grams of protein.
I'm going straight to...
Straight to the gym?
Straight to Mix Gym, you know. I'm making my way to the belt tonight.
Oh, God.
After this.
I'm going to need a new belt. It's just a mess. It's an absolute mess. I don't think there was nearly as much cheese on it back in the day.
This is a lot of cheese.
Because this is insane. This is a sloppy amount of cheese. And I remember it being... surprisingly not messy back then. Like, I remember not me and you, but my friends and I who were eating, were like, wow, this is actually not that tough to eat, but this amount of cheese, it's literally dripping cheese.
You had fast food before me?
I know I've told you I haven't, but I'm sorry, Nathan.
Yeah, there's so much cheese bunched up on the side of my sandwich that it looks like a giant piece of iceberg lettuce.
Yeah, that is a looks like the wall from Game of Thrones that you gotta get through. Have they always had chicken breasts? Like, have you always been able to go to KFC and say, could I get a breast without the bones?
I don't know. I never go to KFC and just get chicken. So I guess I can't say for sure.
Well, like, I know the meals, you get, like, a breast, but it's still attached to the bone, you know? So I was moving a little slow today because it was the Oscars last night. So I was like, I'm going to order lunch. I don't want to make anything. I ordered a fried chicken sandwich. This is at about 2:30. And I realize now that was a mistake. This is too much chicken.
There are a lot of sauces that are good with chicken. Probably it's the most versatile, dippable, at least meat.
Yeah.
I think mayo is an underrated...
I love mayo and chicken.
Chicken pairing. Well, I mean, I always go ranch, maybe a honey mustard, maybe some kind of...
Mm-hmm. I like a mayo ketchup mustard mix. Would highly recommend getting wild with that. Mayo's just great.
Let me tell you what I ate earlier. I wasn't sure if this sandwich would be enough for a whole meal.
Mm.
So I had a protein bar on the way over here.
That's dumb. That sandwich is about 940 calories. Which is...
What do you say the rest of this episode you and I just box?
Yeah, let's do it.
To work it out.
You know how quickly we would throw that back? I can feel it sitting. I can feel my body trying to push it back up, being like, nope, we stopped this. We stopped this a decade ago. Not again. Not again. That's like half of a day's worth of calories in that one sandwich. I mean, they're selling this with fries and a soda.
We aren't even talking about it because it goes without saying how good KFC's chicken is.
Fuck, it's good.
In those 3 years that we didn't have any KFC food on this show.
Yeah.
They weren't doing much to innovate. It wasn't like they were putting stuff out there and we were just turning it down. They were sticking to the basics.
Yeah.
Just chicken and potatoes and
slaw. Skits.
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 But KFC, no matter what else they do, no matter if they have a donut or a waffle or a bowl, as long as there's KFC chicken involved, that baseline is very high.
Yes.
One of the most reliable fast food establishments that there is.
I agree. I mean, the 11 herbs and spices, they've perfected whatever that recipe is. The chicken's always great. It's crunchy. It's crispy. It's delightful. Can you still get it extra crunchy?
I don't know.
I think you can. Or maybe you can't now. You used to be able to choose between super crunchy, extra crunchy, regular. I don't think there was a third option. I don't think they went softer than regular.
Mushy. Extra mushy, please.
Yeah. And I don't know if you can do that now, but any type of chicken you get from KFC is always going to have that same flavor that just is untouchable, I think. It's untouchable. Original recipe. I mean, the Colonel, he did a few things right. 11, I would say.
I would say that KFC's low floor for quality is much unlike the Rocky movies, as I learned. Real roller coaster quality. You know, at their core, they're all Rocky movies, mm-hmm. but some of them are great and some are, like Rocky V, pretty bad.
Yeah.
The first two Creed movies. You know, Creed is, as I like to talk about on the show a lot, Creed is a requel.
Yes.
This is not just a reboot, not just a sequel, it's both. It's a new story with a new cast of characters,
mm-hmm.
but most importantly, it's got Rocky there.
Yeah.
You know, by his side.
Show him the ropes.
Yeah. Rocky's presence looms large mm-hmm. in the first two Creed films. Creed 2 is basically a continuation of Rocky 4. I mean, the homage is very strong.
Yeah.
It's Rocky is in the Creed DNA.
Yep.
Even when Rocky himself is off screen. Now, Creed 3 is the first standalone Creed movie mm-hmm. with no Rocky involved.
I can't believe that.
Michael B. Jordan, the star, also directed this film. This is his directorial debut.
Yes.
And the hand he was dealt was that Sylvester Stallone would not be in it. Apparently there's some beef between Sly and Erwin Winkler, who's the producer of the series. Mm-hmm. Something to do with rights. Like, Sylvester Stallone doesn't actually get that much money from mm-hmm. these rights, and because he sold them back in the day for not very much.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it has nothing to do with Michael B. Jordan or Creed or any of that, but Sylvester Stallone is out on these movies.
Wow.
So then, what do? They'd make a third movie that doesn't have Rocky. My question to you is, does Rocky's absence leave Creed 3 feeling less than? Is there a fundamental piece missing that the film isn't able to overcome? Or does Creed 3 bring enough new to the table that it stands on its own and it carves a path forward for the series without Rocky in its corner?
I think, you know, I went in and I was expecting Rocky to be involved in this movie somehow. I didn't know about the drama or anything there. And so it ended, credits roll, And Aiden says, gosh, I'm surprised Rocky wasn't in it. And I went, oh my God, Rocky wasn't in it. Sly Stallone wasn't in it. And I literally didn't even think about it during the movie. I think this movie, for a directorial debut, is so efficient. It is. It wastes no time. It pulls no punches. I hate to say that. But it is like the storytelling, the writing, it's just such efficient filmmaking. No moment is wasted, I feel like, in this movie. And so it doesn't give you time to think, oh, I wonder what's Rocky doing? Because you're watching this story unfold that is really, really pretty captivating. But no, I literally, like, once I realized he wasn't in it, I was like, oh my God, what? Like, are we to assume he's dead? Are we pretending he's not? Like, I don't know what the deal is, but it didn't bother me at all. I think this movie absolutely stands on its own. I think it's an amazing directorial debut for Michael B. Jordan.
There's really nothing that compares. Like, directors don't get to start with a movie this big. Mm-hmm. They always, like, have to work on smaller films. Obviously, he's in a different position because he's the star of the series.
Yeah.
But I was worried going in, like,
yep,
this is his first film he's directing. Is he really going to be up to the task of this? And he absolutely is.
Yes, I agree. And I'm not saying this is the best movie in the world by any means, or, like, you know, it's going to win Academy Awards or anything like that. But usually when it's somebody's first movie, you can see what they didn't think of, or you can see that they, you know, were too focused on technique, maybe, or not focused enough on technique. And this one, I was just like, it was just such a smooth ride the whole time. You know, obviously, like, in terms of plot, not at all, but, like, in terms of telling a story, I was fully engaged the entire time. Mm-hmm. And I was very surprised by that, because I too was like, A, he's starring in it too, B, it's his first time, and C, like, he, I don't know what else he's ever directed, like, even if he's done little, like, side projects, music videos, anything like that, I don't think he's done any.
I don't think so.
And, like, you know, obviously you pick things up being on a film set as much as he is, and he's worked with amazing directors, but I really did not think it would be this well put together.
Mm-hmm.
Really blew me away.
I think the other factor that I just was excited for but didn't even think it could be this good is Jonathan Majors' performance as Dame Anderson. He has raised the bar for this franchise.
I cannot agree more. I think me and you both love Jonathan Majors. Mm-hmm. I'm in love with the guy. He's amazing. You know, I've been watching him, like, he's been in all these fitness magazines and stuff because the guy's maybe in the best shape a human being could ever be in.
Uh-huh.
Just, like, astoundingly ripped. And this performance, I think, honestly could win some awards because he is essentially plays two characters in this movie. There's a twist at a certain point. I don't know what you're going to let me say before spoilers.
Well, I mean,
spoilers.
We don't need to go into details, but I think it's obvious when you see any trailer or poster for this movie, you know that he's fighting Creed.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's the villain of the movie.
Yeah.
And I think that he is just the best villain of any Creed or Rocky movie ever.
I fully agree with that. And I loved Drago's son in Creed 2. He was my peak villain. But I think Majors takes it by far because he comes on as an old friend, modest, quiet, shy, and then switches to evil, selfish, greedy, rude, and like that switch to me was terrifying. It really, I didn't see it. You know that he's gonna fight Creed, right? But you're like, is it gonna be like a fight between friends to prove something? What is this gonna be? And then what happens, and you're like, oh my God, he is a totally different person on screen, a totally different person than when we first meet him. And I think his performance is just astounding. I absolutely loved him. Exceeded all my expectations, and I have very high expectations for him because he's great in everything that he does.
Completely agree. You and I have been in his corner for years, and it just feels so good that our Jonathan Majors stock has paid dividends.
Early investors. Early investors. I mean, and if you haven't seen, you know, what else he's in, like...
So, Last Black Man in San Francisco, he's a supporting role in that, that was what put him on the map.
Yeah. Yep.
And then The Harder They Fall,
yep,
you loved a couple years ago.
Absolutely did.
He's the lead in that.
God, he's so good in that.
Remember Defy Bloods?
Yep, I was just going to say.
He's great.
Yep. Trial of Chicago 7, I think he's in that too. In a small, small role. But yeah, God, the guy is just amazing at what he does. I never watched Lovecraft Country, but
I didn't either.
People raved about that performance too. And now he's in...
He's in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the villain of the next phase.
Yeah. So I haven't seen Ant-Man either, but I'm just so glad that he's getting all this work because, good God.
I'm not the first person to make this prediction, but I'm just going to say, call some shots early.
Yeah.
He is in a film called Magazine Dreams, which premiered at Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
The early buzz of this film is that he's going to get an Oscar nomination.
Wow.
And I think that he's going to have one of those years in an actor's career where he's going to have like three great things that he's in and probably win the Oscar because it's just awarding him for his this whole
collective
work. This whole varied body of work that he's building. I mean, I think he deserves it from this movie. I think that
100%.
He is terrific. His character's arc is so well written because I'm right there with you. I'm watching this movie thinking, there's probably going to be like a little left-hand turn that just doesn't feel right. But his backstory remains so sympathetic from start to finish.
Yep.
And that's performance and it's writing. But that's why I say this character in every aspect just raises the bar for the series. In the next film, in the Creedverse, if they just try to bring in some like macho no-name guy with no story, it's going to seem so much worse because I'm going to say, point to this and say, you have to try to have a three-dimensional character played by an actor who he's such a good performer in even just the tiniest scenes. There's a scene in this film where he and Creed are sitting at a diner table.
Yeah.
They're talking. And I even thought to myself while I was watching it, I was like, I think this is the best scene that's ever been in one of these movies.
Yeah.
And it's just talking and it's just little passive aggressive comments or movements or like body language.
Yes.
And that same guy who can play that scene, because Dolph Lundgren can't do that.
No.
Drago Jr. can't. No villain in the Creed movies ever. I mean, Carl Weathers is great, but he's not that kind of actor. Uh-huh. He's not a subtle actor. Jonathan Majors can do that and also get in the ring and have what I just love about this character. They gave him such an unorthodox fighting style. You watch him put his arms up and the way he contorts his face and the way he moves, there's never been someone like him in these movies. And it makes him, it's storytelling through action.
Yeah.
It makes him so like a dangerous foe because there's no line to him. It's just, he wants to win. He doesn't care about respecting kind of like the norms of the sport or any of that. He's just like, I'm going to do what it takes. He feels like out of control.
Yeah.
Like you don't know what he's going to do next.
It's pure rage.
And it's so exciting to watch.
It's pure rage. You're absolutely right. And watch the first time we see him kind of in the ring and you see him, you know, he does this weird, like, puts his arms together in blocks, which like is such a strange thing. And, you know, he's been in prison for 18 years, boxing in prison, which is a totally different thing. And he fights dirty. And it's all these things that, like, it's not just a boxer, you know, it's not a boxer who's been classically trained and knows all the right techniques and moves. He doesn't go by the book. And he's just so fun to watch. And just the sheer size of him too. He's so fucking huge. And granted, Magazine Dreams is about a bodybuilder, his other movie. So well done on lining up the timing with these two for him. But he's amazing to watch in the ring. I think the fight sequences are some of the best parts of this movie, obviously, but I think they're very different than other fight sequences. And that part of that is obviously Michael B. Jordan's direction. But, I think, you know, his Jonathan Majors performance and just that character in general, you can tell he's just doing so much to be different than what you would expect a boxer to be. He is my favorite part of this movie by far. I think we can both gush about him for a very long time. If you have not watched The Harder They Fall, I might rewatch that tonight, because I'm on a Jonathan Majors kick. Please go watch The Harder They Fall and then go see Creed 3. But goddamn, his character arc in this is just amazing to watch. And it makes that final, you know, the final fight so heavy in terms of, you know, consequences. Yeah. Like, what?
Well, I want to get into the details of that. Yeah, but every one of these movies has the scene where it's like the publicity scene where the two fighters sit at the table or they're like in front of the camera and then like a little bit of rage starts to come out between them and like that emotion starting to like
overflow. Oh,
yeah. And in this one, they don't need anything like that because you get 40 minutes of story between the two of them and their history together. And also, I love the scene when Jonathan Majors goes over to Tessa Thompson, Adonis's wife, and like starts getting in her head.
Yeah.
And
what's it like to produce other people's music?
Yeah. And like, and thereby getting into like Adonis's, like he's like infiltrating the family in a way that feels as like how a sleazy friend would do something like it just feels so grounded. Like the malice that builds towards these two characters just feels, it just feels natural.
Yeah.
Which I just don't expect from these movies.
No, not at all. And I think that's the thing is before, you know, we kind of get to see him for who he really is. You're not sure. You're like, you know, this guy's been in prison for 18 years. You know, he maybe only knows how to be defensive and combative and, you know, kind of get under people's skin. Maybe that's just like a remnant of that. Or maybe, you know, you're like, do you trust him? Do you not? Is he doing this intentionally? Or is it just kind of how he operates? But yeah, the whole scene, you know, at her kind of record reveal party. And then the scene at their house too, Creed's house, which by the way, that house is, oh my God, the coolest house I think I've ever seen in the world. I would kill for that house. I would fight Jonathan Majors in the ring for that house and get absolutely murdered and would not win. But I just loved that whole scene too. Again, Tessa Thompson, who's been great in all three of these movies. Mm-hmm. I'm very surprised by how great she's been. Well, she's always been great and everything, so I guess I'm not surprised, but I didn't even know she was in the Creed movies till I started watching the Creed movies. I think she's great. But yeah, that I just love that scene when he comes over to their house. Just getting into their life in what seems like such a nice and like innocuous way.
There are also a number of scenes because early in the film we have a time jump, a few years, and his daughter, would you say maybe she's like 10, 11,
probably around 10. Yeah.
And she's deaf. Mm-hmm. And so their family, they use ASL every day. And there are a number of surprisingly patient and quiet ASL scenes of conversations in this movie that I would have expected, you know, this is an action blockbuster.
Yep.
And like, I would expect this kind of movie to rush those scenes, maybe kind of like edit them, or just maybe not necessarily show all of the signing and like to just to kind of maybe put some music behind it to kind of make it give it some more energy. But they don't do any of that cheap stuff. They just let it breathe.
Yeah.
You get these great father-daughter moments between the two of them. And I just thought in those scenes, I started to see how this series could become so many other things.
Oh, yeah.
Like I really do think that while making this, Michael B. Jordan and the producers too, I'm sure, had on their mind, like, we can start planting the seeds that are going to, like, there's going to be movies about her.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. And it's going to be great.
I know. I hope she becomes a boxer. But I think it's, you know, it's very clear that it's, I think all the Rocky movies are, well, granted, I haven't seen all of them, so I shouldn't even speak on that, but are so focused on just the fight. You know, the big fight at the end, and it's, you know, maybe a little bit with his family here and there, but I love to see the representation of somebody deaf, a whole family communicating with ASL is great. And then, doing it in that raw way is I think really impactful too. And we even, Aiden and I even saw a closed caption screening of it. They had a bunch of those, with full closed captions on, which I thought was nice too. But yeah, it's so much, you can definitely tell like, Creed is going to move away from fighting and, you know, be a family man and, you know, obviously still train people and stuff like that. But I'm very intrigued to see where they go next. And I'm very excited for her series is what I think it's going to be, is she's going to get her own series. But it's great. I mean, it's great. And again, you know, Tessa in the first one and the second one, you know, having the progressive hearing loss reminded me of Sound of Metal. Great movie, presumed. But it's just like such a, I really like that aspect of the story because it kind of humanizes Creed too in a way where he's not just a fighter. He has to be a well-rounded person. You know, he's got to learn, he's got to train himself in ASL. He's not just training himself in fighting. And I think that kind of character development, you know, showing how different he is from the first movie where he's kind of this scrappy, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get what I want. And now he's so focused on his daughter. Like the tea party scene is great. And it's all ASL, you know, and it adds a really interesting story element too. Like when him and Tessa are fighting and the daughter comes down and sees them fighting, you know, and she obviously can't hear what they're saying, but can see that they're angry with each other. And, you know, she says, she can't see you like this, and picks her up and he gives her the I love you sign. And you're like, God, what a unique family situation that they are navigating together. Like that's so, it has to be challenging in so many ways. But it just really, I think, gives his character a whole nother level of depth.
It's another form of physicality.
Yeah.
It's like kind of the other side of the spectrum from like the brute force.
Yeah.
Like obviously boxing like requires being light on your feet. Like you have to be nimble. You have to be smart. But like, it feels like the furthest thing from like getting punched in the face is like having to like use your face and your arms and your hands to express your emotion in a way that like it really matters how you do these things, you know.
And too, like they talk about how many fingers he has broken, you know, in his career and stuff, and you think like that's got to make that even harder to do, you know, more complicated signing and things like that. Just such a great aspect of this movie. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I have not even Googled what I'm about to ask you. The first fight, we open on it. It's pretty Ricky from Creed 2 and Creed fighting. I am 85% sure that that was entirely CGI. Entirely CGI.
No, it's shot using, it's called the Bolt camera. And it's the camera that they use for movies like The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Where movements are programmed and it allows like slow motion. It feels like CGI because it feels like too like perfect, and like combining those mechanical movements with the slow motion, it kind of looks fake.
It wasn't like the camera movement wasn't what got me. It just and maybe it's because I look at video game art all day for my real job. I was watching it and I was like, the sweat doesn't look good. Like the faces, the skin texture, it all like they seemed unnaturally light on their feet. And I was like, God, I couldn't tell. The camera movements did probably compile with that, but it just really,
there might be some additive CG work, but it is a real fight.
All right.
I think that hyper slow motion that they use in that first fight where, I mean, you're watching like the ocean waves of someone's arm when they get punched,
which is great.
It's so cool.
It is. Truly, truly. We'll talk about it in spoilers, but there's a fight scene where they use a certain technique, and my jaw absolutely dropped.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Before we get into spoilers, did you see this in IMAX, by the way?
Yeah.
Apparently the first sports movie ever filmed in IMAX.
Really?
Not like shown in IMAX, but like they use actual IMAX cameras in the ring for these fights.
Huh.
This was the biggest opening weekend ever for a sports movie.
Yeah.
Of any kind. Bigger than any Rocky or Creed.
Which blows my mind.
It feels, you know, it's hard to parse this because I watched it on IMAX screen, not on a TV, but like the movie just feels bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It feels bigger than any movies that came before in this series.
Yeah.
And I feel like Michael B. Jordan really probably learned a lot working with Ryan Coogler.
Yeah.
Like he's in Black Panther and he directed the first Creed. There are moments of this that feel closer to a superhero movie than Rocky One.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it just feels larger than life.
Yeah.
And it's just so impressive that Michael B. Jordan, he could have just said, you know what, I just got to make a good Creed movie and just kind of hopefully it turns out a pretty good directorial debut. And instead he said, we're going to do so much more than has ever been attempted in these movies. And he really pulled it off.
I mean, it's an event. It's a spectacular, you know, it is like a promoted boxing fight. It is something that you're right. It feels bigger, I guess is a great way to put it, but it is just, and I think for a third movie in a series to stand out, I think, so much more than the first two is so incredibly rare.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to, A, maintain interest, B, you know, tell a similar-ish story. You know, it's a boxing movie. We know we're going to get a fight. But to make it feel so unique and on its own makes your chapstick fly right off the table. It's just, yeah, it is an event. And I would recommend seeing it on the biggest screen possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone who hasn't seen any of these? I mean, would you say definitely catch up on the movies? What would you recommend?
I'd say catch this in theaters when you can. So if that means watching a recap of the first two on YouTube or something like that, do that. And that's what I did with Aiden for some of the Rocky movies. I was like, I'm not watching six Rocky movies with you. So I was like, let's watch a 15-minute recap of five Rocky movies. We watched the first one together. You don't need to know the backstory. There's really no carry. I guess Pretty Ricky in the first fight is a carryover from the second one, but that's irrelevant. From Liverpool. I liked his accent a lot. But no, go see it right away. I mean, go see it for the visuals. Go see it for the soundtrack, which is so good. So good. There were several moments where I was like literally vibing like I was at a concert. I was like bopping up and down. I think Dame's walkout song was my absolute favorite moment, which was Nipsey Hussle's Grinding All My Life. Perfect song for him, for his character. Not only lyrically, but because Nipsey grew up in the exact same area Dame was supposed to grow up at the same time era. Like, I lost it during that. I was like, this is the best walk. And it's just him. You know, it's not like in the other Creed movies, there's these extravagant walkouts with lights. You know, even in this one, you have Tessa Thompson like singing, walking him on. It's a fucking light show. He's coming out in like a raggedy sweatshirt by himself and just walking out to Grinding All My Life. And it is maybe my favorite movie or favorite moment in the movie. Definitely one of. But the soundtrack is so good. But yeah, that was a very long-winded answer to your question. Go see this in theaters. It doesn't matter if you've seen any other movie ever in your life. If this is your first movie, you're going to have a good time.
I agree that it's only going to be in theaters for so long and you should see it that way. Mm-hmm. But I do think there is a lot of character building in the first Creed movie in particular that I think it gives you, there's a lot more to appreciate once you kind of are familiar with his family, their whole dynamic.
That's true. The family dynamic is a very complicated one, so that would probably be helpful to watch. I mean, obviously watch the first two if you can. They're available on Prime. They're 2 hours. I love that everyone is 2 hours flat. Not two and a half. It's 1:45 is kind of where I like a movie to come in, but I can handle an extra 15.
We got to talk some spoilers, but before that, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Let's.
We come to this place for chicken. We come to KFC to eat, to feast, to devour, because we need that, all of us. That indescribable feeling we get when the crew member hands us our food and we shove it into our face right there in the parking lot. Not just gorged, but somehow reborn. Together. Sizzling chicken in a huge silver fryer, herbs and spices that are proprietary. Somehow, heart disease feels good in a place like this. Our biscuits are soft, and our buckets seem bottomless, because here, they are. KFC, we make chicken better. And we're back, and it's time for our spoiler snack segment, the part of the show where we talk full spoilers about Creed 3, and we eat, or drink, a snack.
Oh, goddamn.
Before we dive into the snack, I was thinking, if you and I had a walkout song for this podcast,
ooh,
you know what it would be? We would come through the door.
Whopper, 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 whopper.
Bum, 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 bum. We have the meats.
Oh, that'd be pretty good. And then we'd show our muscles.
We have our big cowboy hats on.
That would be fucking great, actually. Like a Boots Riley type hat. I like the whopper, whopper. Double, triple, junior, single, whopper.
Could you get us a glass, please?
One single glass?
One glass, because I already have something that I can use to drink out of.
Is it a frozen beverage, Nathan?
No. It is in liquid form.
Okay. Is it in a can?
Again, Kevin, I would ask you to close your eyes.
Just, can't even help it. Even if I wanted to keep my eyes open, I don't think my body would let me. I'd like to try to guess what it is before you tell me your show.
You want a hint?
I'd like to, can you pour it in a glass and then I can smell it? Or will that give things away? Can I hold it?
Holding it's not going to do a thing.
Okay.
Here, you can hold it.
Well, I can't see. Okay, so it's a bottle. Oh, it's the new lemon lime thing. It's Starry?
No.
Okay.
Much better.
Frankie doesn't like it.
What if I told you yellow?
Like the,
not the liquid.
The label.
The label.
It's not Starry or whatever that new shit is?
It is not.
Squirt?
No, I did not bring you a can of Squirt.
It's a bottle, first off. Yellow. Mellow?
No, you're never going to get this.
Okay. Let's
feast your eyes.
Oh my God. Pepsi Peeps. Peeps Pepsi. Pepsi times Peeps. 2023 limited edition. Wow. We couldn't have missed it, huh? You had to get your hands on it.
I don't know why they didn't call it Peepsy.
Yeah, that seems so obvious to me. This is going to be disgusting. You know, the bottle has that weird bump kind of towards the middle bottom here, and I was like, what the fuck is that? Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to want it. I'm going to go get a smaller glass. Gross. I was going to say, let me smell it, and then I try to guess what it is, but I don't think that would have helped.
I think we should just
down
the hatch. Oof.
That's some ASMR.
You hear that? Cheers.
Oh. Oh.
Okay.
That's so wrong. The aftertaste, it's normal Pepsi at first, and then this sickening, fake, sugary, I'm not having another sip of it.
It's not leaving my tongue.
No, it is. I don't think it would. It almost tastes like metal. Maybe I'm having a stroke. It's like vanilla and metal. It's like a bit of chewing on a piece of aluminum.
Yeah. It tastes so artificial, which seems obvious for this soda, but it reminds me of almost like a candle or something.
Yeah.
It tastes like I just licked wax.
I hate everything about it.
That's leaving a weird... Ugh.
Weird fake marshmallowy film.
I don't even know if I would guess marshmallow if I drank this.
It's that. It's like the sugar on the outside of Peeps, like not the marshmallow on the inside. It's just the worst part of the Peep is what it kind of tastes like. But honestly, it tastes like metal. It tastes like I'm having a stroke.
It does taste like vanilla. Like, doesn't even really make sense to me.
Nope. It does not. That is foul. That is absolutely foul.
I'm going one more sip.
Why? Don't.
Yeah. Kevin, you would not believe how far I trekked to find some Peepsy.
Why? Where did you go?
You know what I did find very easily? In a number of grocery stores, I found 10 packs of this.
You didn't want to invest
that. And I wanted
much.
One.
Okay. So you drove.
And I used the product locator on their website. My God. And I went to 3 gas stations.
Wow.
And I finally found one. And then the cashier said, they got yellow Pepsi now? And I said, oh, it's Peeps Pepsi. And he said, oh. I kind of want to take this back to him so we can try it.
I'm glad that you waited 3 years to watch Succession because you were busy driving around at different gas stations trying to find a single can of Peepsy. Ugh. I'm going to throw this glass away. I don't even want. Oh my God, that's bad. It just, that aftertaste. Nathan's taking another huge sip. The aftertaste lingers for so long and is so bad. I can't express.
I do think the before taste.
It's just Pepsi.
Has a little... I feel like I can sense the marshmallow at first. Maybe it's just smell. Maybe it's just like some kind of chemical...
Oh, God, the smell. What? Oh, it smells like... You know what it smells like? Mm. You know what it tastes like? Antibiotics when you're a kid. The pink antibiotics. It tastes exactly like that.
I always got bubblegum flavored.
This was before they had. I grew up in the hard
in
days.
The 30s.
Yeah, before they had all this sweet tasting stuff. It tastes exactly like. What would they give a kid? Augmentin? Or what do they give them when you have like strep throat or something? That's exactly what it smells like and exactly what it tastes like, and that's why I hate it so much. Oh, God. I'm throwing. Ugh.
I've taken 3 sips now. And the evolution of flavor and texture as it goes from your lip down your throat, it just doesn't feel like a mixture that was intended to be consumed together. It feels like you
sadly,
mixed Pepsi.
Sadly, one peep fell into the vat of Pepsi yes. while they were making it.
Like, it tastes truly like an accident.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure its parents would say that it was. That is horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. Ugh. I mean, if you're going to make something like that, at least call it Peepsy. That's so... I can't believe they didn't. I just can't believe that.
They looked at these 10 letters. Pepsi Peeps. Pepsi Peeps.
What can we do with that? Oh, Pepsi times Peeps. Yeah, let's do that.
Maybe that's the thing. They couldn't combine them because they said this is like oil and water.
I mean, you can have Pepsi and Peeps also on the label like they do and still have it say Peepsy.
I mean, do we think it would sell better if it was called Peepsy or not called Peepsy?
I don't want to think about it anymore. I hate it. I hate it so much. I don't even like Peeps or Pepsi. So why?
That's the thing. I like Peeps.
Ugh.
And that might be why I've had three sips. But
stop going back. Stop going back to it. Nathan gives it about 10 like smells between each sip, like as if that's going to somehow level it out and make him feel better.
With every passing second, I think it wasn't that bad.
Do you think it'd be good in like a whiskey Peepsy?
Let's try it.
What would we call that?
A weepsy?
A weepsy? Whipsy? I think we should go to a bar and order just whiskey on the rocks and bring our own peepsy.
And when people start giving us looks, we say, hey, I brought you one too. Yeah. It's we'll a little test time
bags, yeah. Oh, we'll get kicked out of everywhere. My God.
Oh,
man. Peepsy? Wow. That stuff is... I can't believe you don't know the pink antibiotics for children.
I've had pink antibiotics. It just always tasted like bubblegum. Because I was raised three
Amoxicillin.
Decades.
Amoxicillin is exactly what it tastes like. Okay, stop smelling Peepsy.
They really miss out on the Amop Peepsillin. Well, now that we had our snack.
Ugh.
Where does this movie start off? We talked about the first fight.
Yep. It starts off... Well, does it start off with the flashback? First, we're at the flashback, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So, it starts off with Dame and Adonis as young boys,
mm-hmm.
Having recently been out of their group home that they got abused in. Going to, like, this underground boxing match, which I loved.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
And Dame's fight, when he says, just says, checkmate, and then just absolutely knocks the guy out, is great. And then you see, you know... Adonis sees a guy, Leon, and says, hey, Leon, you don't remember me? And just beats the shit out of this guy. And we're like, we're kind of left there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some guys come to beat Adonis, and I don't know if we even see Dame pull a gun the first time.
I don't think you see it the first time.
I don't think we
they,
do.
They really kind of leave the crumbs for you along the way.
Yeah. And then it just jumps straight into that fight with Pretty Ricky. So way big future jump. Probably, I guess, 18 years-ish.
And then you see that Adonis is... absolutely dominant
now.
I mean, he's basically just toying with his opponent at this point.
Yeah.
And then from there is when it jumps. I think it's, is it like 6 years or something?
Something like that. And he's retired from boxing. He's, you know, he's working at the gym, running the gym, helping them find fighters and, you know, doing promotions. And he's got his own company set up, it seems like, for promotions and everything like that. So again, killing the game. Tessa as well, killing the music game. She's a producer. Can't do live shows anymore because they're hearing. And so they've made a very nice life for themselves. And then Diamond Dame just shows up one day at the gym.
Yeah, I like when he's just leaning on the car.
Yeah, classic. I just love every outfit he wears in this movie, too. I just love anything Jonathan Majors wears. Anytime he's in a teeny weeny beanie, I absolutely love it.
When he's in his motel room with his like one pair of socks, and he's got... just like his pants and boots combo. I'm like, the guy looks amazing in
everything.
He just rocks it.
Everything. Doesn't hurt that he's got the body of a bodybuilder underneath it either. But yeah, I do like how they kind of string you along. Like, you're not sure what exactly happened at that childhood incident, like why he got locked up for 18 years, you know, how Creed got away. And every time we kind of go back to that, it's a little bit of new information, a little bit of new information, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Until he's finally comfortable enough to talk to his wife about it. Which, again, I think is... that's been a good byline through all three Creed movies. Is he's not good at talking about his feelings or childhood or experiences with his wife. He's a fighter. And that's what he knows. He knows how to be physical. And I think being emotional and opening up is much harder for him than training or fighting. And this movie, he kind of... at a certain point, I think with the... well, sadly, his mom dies, has a stroke. So with the death of his mom, I think he realizes how important it is to open up and share your feelings with people. Because I'm guessing that was probably the person he might have done that with, if he ever did with anybody. and he knows that he has to find somebody new to be able to do that with. But yeah, emotional movie.
Every one of the Rocky sequels does kind of the same structure where the very beginning, it replays the climax of the last movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows what Rocky and his family's life is like immediately following that. And every time they have to go from showing him winning the fight to how do we bring Rocky back down to the ground so that you root for him again?
Yeah.
Whether it's like he loses all his money or like he struggles doing sponsorships or like his friend dies or his coach dies. Like every movie you can really feel kind of like the strings of the puppet, like they have to artificially take this guy who was on top and pull him back down so that he can climb back up again. And it just happens every time. It gets really old in those movies.
Yep.
I feel like in Creed 3, coming back down to Earth for Donnie, it feels so much more genuine this time because like it's not like his life is ripped away from him. Now you talked about how cool his house is and that dinner scene. Like they have this life that you envy.
Yeah.
And it's not that like something comes along and he just loses that, but you understand how he has gone most of his life selectively forgetting that part of his past.
Yep.
And it's only with those blinders on that he can be this guy who he is now.
Mm-hmm.
And now that his past is coming back to confront him, he has no way of escaping that. Like he's going through something that even his wife and daughter and mom, they don't quite understand because like he's never shared this with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You feel that he has the guilt of success, you know, like he, even before things turn with Dame where he becomes the villain.
Yep.
It really hurts Adonis to like just be who he is, knowing that his friend is where he is.
It's kind of like imposter syndrome comes.
Absolutely. Because when they started out, he looked up to him and it made me think while I was watching this about all of the moments in life that we look back on our lives and we tell ourselves a story about how we got to where we are now, but we can never know fully how many points in our life were just a coin flip one way or the other. Yeah. And we lucked out and someone else didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's the imposter syndrome of saying, why do I have a mansion while he's in prison?
Yep.
That makes no sense, really.
Yeah.
But the only way you can go through life is to like justify those things in your head. Like, oh, I deserve to have this.
Yeah.
I've earned this. But there's just so much in our life that we choose to forget. And I think they did a really great job with the story in this movie of making this guy who's on top of the world
human.
Yeah. And to struggle with what everyone struggles with.
Yeah.
I was so impressed.
Yeah.
By how they handled it.
I fully agree. I mean, I think, you know, if you've seen the first two, you know, you get a taste of his childhood, but you don't get, you know, we're also kind of held out of a lot of it. You know, it's not all revealed to us. You know, we don't know that he was abused, incredibly physically abused by a man in a group home. Like, we don't know that. We know he likes to fight. That's what we find out. You know, he had a rough childhood and he likes to fight. But, you know, we get more details in this. And I think seeing what his life could have been if that coin toss went the other way really makes him realize, like, I was this close, you know, to being in prison and not having any of this. And I think that, you know, when connected to his mom in this movie where she keeps the letters from Dame from him, and he's like, how could you do this? None of this would have happened if you didn't do this. And she says, I'm getting emotional thinking about it. She says, you're right. None of it would have happened if I didn't hold these letters. Yeah. Like, you would have been still living that kind of life if I had not cut him out of your life completely, you know? And it was, yeah, I thought that scene was really powerful, you know, and again, makes him kind of realize, like, geez, you know, just that close, you know, it's crazy what separates a multimillionaire and somebody who's fresh out of jail for 18 years. It's just one little thing. But yeah, you're right. I mean, again, the storytelling this, I think the writing, props to Keenan Coogler, and I think one other guy, Zach Balin, I think is the other one he wrote. It's just so tight and so well done, and nothing's wasted. There's no extra. It's great writing. It's great writing, which I don't expect from a Creed movie. I just don't. Not at all. But can we talk training montages?
What did you think of them?
got a little ridiculous in this one, I think. When he started pulling a plane, I checked out. I said, that doesn't need to happen. Like, he could pull anything. Where'd they get a fucking plane? I was like, that's just... That one lost me a little bit. But I, other than that, I mean, it was cool how, you know, they show basically how broken he is. How broken Creed is from years and years of fighting. You know, he's got all these injuries. He's old. He's out of, you know, he hasn't been in the ring in a while. And they cut it together with Jonathan Majors being like, you know, studying film of him and knowing these injuries and knowing exactly where he needs to hurt him, you know, to really take him out more than just a normal punch would. Like, it's really cool to see how they're both preparing, because Jonathan Majors is already in great shape. He's fights the way he fights. You know, he doesn't have like a professional coach training him. You know, he's kind of doing his own thing, at least for a little bit. And then you've got, you know, Creed kind of coming out of retirement, a little rusty and trying to pull it all together too. The plane thing just really ruined it for me. I was like, it's just dumb. Just dumb. What do you think of him? I thought Creed 2's training montage in like the desert, my favorite by far. My absolute favorite. The 1 foot each in the tire in the middle of the ring. Yeah. I was like, toe to toe? Come on. That's the best. I fucking lost it at that. Also ridiculous, but I love that. So they didn't live up to that one for me, but they were good.
Yeah, I thought the one in Creed 3, like, it focuses more on, like, what you're talking about, that psychological aspect of them kind of trying to... They're overcoming things in their training, and they're figuring each other out, as opposed to, like, in Creed 2, or in, like, if you've ever seen Rocky 4 when he goes to Russia, that's, like, one of the most iconic, because he's, like, literally in the Russian wilderness training, and it's just, like, the dumbest, most over-the-top, but, like... When they raise the bar that high, it's like, I want them to go to a cool place. Like in Creed 2, when they go to the desert. You're like, why are they in the desert? I don't know.
This but is where cool boxers to come to be reborn or something like that is the line.
But yeah, so I was like a little bit let down that in this one, they're just like in the gym.
Yeah.
For the most part, other than like the hangar with the plane. I mean, they've got that too.
And the biggest standalone mirror I've ever seen as well. But they're fun. I mean, they're fun. It's always fun to watch somebody train for a fight for some reason. I don't know why my brain is wired that way, but it checks my box for me.
Another fun thing was when Dame fights Felix Chavez, Felix's walkout song, they do like the colored smoke.
Oh my God. And the mask. Dia de los Muertos mask.
That was another moment that I just thought, man, this is just big. This is like cinematic.
I fucking love that. So I loved it so much, because that's the one he walks out to, Grinding All My Life by Nipsey Hussle, and then that guy comes out with like the most theatrics, like that guy twirling the smoke, and then he's got like the two other dancers. He's wearing a huge mask too. That was an awesome walkout. It makes, God, we do need some walkout music.
You know, we have walkout music. It's just played on a ukulele.
In a garage. It was good. Can we... I mean, I want to get to the ending, to the fight.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have anything else you want to talk about, spoilies-wise.
Before that, I do just want to mention his mother's death is handled...
Oh, the bedside scene.
When she thinks that Adonis is Apollo, her husband who passed many years ago. And she tells him, Adonis, help me forgive you.
Yeah.
And I think that moment, these movies can feel so disconnected from the original Rocky films, and like Adonis and Apollo's only connection is like Adonis watches films of his father. He didn't even know him.
Yeah.
And with a single line, it connects this multi-generational story in just such a beautiful way.
Yeah. It's a very emotional scene.
And an admission that's only possible because of confusion.
Yeah.
Something that a mother would never say to her son.
Yeah.
But only says on accident.
Yeah. And then, she follows that up with, you know, Adonis saved me too, you know, because says you left. And Adonis, and that's how, I mean, she just keeps saying Adonis, you know, and then those are her last words. Like, that scene was incredibly rough, but gorgeous and beautiful. And yeah, just those worlds colliding are, yeah, it's one of the, you always wonder, like, how your parents talk about you when you're not in the room, you know, or like what they think, you know, in weird ways. Obviously they say things to you, but like, it's a very powerful moment. Great storytelling, phenomenal writing again. And it doesn't linger on it for too long.
Yeah.
It's this movie's just so well structured, so tight.
Yeah.
I got tears in my eyes thinking about that now, Nathan. Thanks a lot.
I think that the
could be the peepsy too.
The one kind of link in this story that to me felt a little bit rushed is Bianca doesn't want Adonis to teach their daughter to fight.
Yeah.
You know, she's getting picked on at school. He thinks he needs to teach her self-defense.
Yep.
Her mom says no. And he's like secretly teaching her how to fight, you know, and she loves it. And of course, she's a natural.
Yep.
And Bianca believes that fighting should not be the answer to all conflict. Mm-hmm. Right. There's then Dame is the new champion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a turn where Adonis explains to Bianca, he's not going to stop until I beat him.
Mm-hmm.
And then her response is, do what you have to do.
There's only one way he's going to understand or like.
And to me, that one bit just didn't feel true.
Yeah. Yeah.
That felt like.
I agree.
That felt like maybe there's a scene missing. Mm-hmm. Maybe they. I don't know what it is.
It's a total 180 from what she had just said. Yeah. You know, I do agree with it. I get like circumstances have obviously changed. And it's not, you know, their daughter as opposed to, or it's him as opposed to their daughter. But yeah, it does feel very weird, especially like she's been married to a boxer for years. Like she knows his approach to stuff and yeah.
And I think when he says he's not going to stop until I beat him, that's something that I wish the movie had shown us instead of told us.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause at that point, Dame has the belt and like, I don't recall there being any, like, what else is he coming for? I don't.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I wish that there was a little bit more to show you that Dame is going to be a threat to their lives mm-hmm. until he's beaten.
Yeah. That's very fair.
I
think, you know, I think they want you to think of it from like a publicity, you know, I think the legacy is what he's essentially coming for. You know, he wants to show that Creed doesn't deserve what he has. Maybe that it should have been him, but yeah, it does. That is a miss. That's a very good call up. I'm with you on that.
But it sets up a great climax.
Fuck.
Just explain what this scene is.
I mean, it's a boxing match.
Where is it?
It's in the middle of the LA Dodgers stadium, I think.
Yeah.
Packed, full of people, fireworks in the sky, spelling out Creed. Again, not the best CGI in my mind. I still don't know if that first fight was or not, but, it's the arena is amazing and the walkouts are phenomenal. You know, Bianca's singing her song, walking Creed out.
That's I think you're thinking of Creed 2. When she there's like lasers.
Oh shit! Am
and
I?
She sings. Yeah. That's Creed 2.
Yeah.
He just walks out to.
He just okay. Yes, you're right. You're right. You're right. Sorry, I've watched way too many Creeds in the last week. But you know, he's got the walkout with the big all the belts. Jonathan Majors, which boxing belts are so silly to me. Like they're so, it's such a weird remnant of like, I don't know what it came from, but, the buildup's great. Once they start fighting, it's so well choreographed. Again, the camera works phenomenal. And then all of a sudden it switches and it's just those two in the ring, the stadium, totally empty, silent. Other than the fight, like the noises from the fight. And I just got chills just thinking about this because I was like, holy shit. What a way to show that these two care about nothing fucking else in the world mm-hmm. right now than just beating the shit out of this guy. It is such a powerful thing to do. And I was like, how have they not done this in any of the other boxing movies? Like it's a genius idea. It's perfect for the moment. It's beautifully done. Like the lighting's astounding. The cinematography is great. My jaw was on the floor.
The setting changes to a few different places.
Mm-hmm.
It changes to the group home,
yep.
I believe.
Yep.
And like the prison
yep.
where Dame was.
Yeah.
And there's never been a surreal
yeah.
sequence
yeah.
in these movies as this one.
Yes.
That it's just about two people.
Yeah.
That's all that it is.
It's such a perfect way to do it. It's just, and God, it looks so fucking good on a big screen.
I could be wrong, but it really feels like it was actually shot in this stadium,
yeah.
both full and empty.
I think it was. I fully think it was.
Because, I mean, I feel like that would be tough CGI to fake.
Yeah.
You'd be able to spot that pretty easily, yeah. But it just feels real.
Oh, it does.
If it is CGI, it's extraordinary. CGI.
I do. I have many issues with CGI, and that is not one of them. I was like, they emptied it out and made it seem like not a moment had been skipped. You know, like there's no disconnection. You're not like, oh, this is a different day of filming or anything like that. Like, so good. I was like, stamp of approval for this movie right when that came, that happened. It's just, and then, you know, it snaps back, but it's like, oh my God, I want to watch that scene 20 more times. Like once this comes out on streaming, I'll go to where to stream. I'm just going to rewatch that. Like I'm going to watch the movie. Once I get to that, I'm going to rewind 10 times and just rewatch it. It's so cool. I hate to use the adjective cool, but it is so fucking cool. I just loved it. I just loved it.
Did you find yourself, any part of you kind of like wanting a split decision out of this final fight?
Well, it's funny because, you know, we'd watched Rocky, we watched the other Creeds, and I asked Aiden going into this, I was like, what do you think's, you know, do you think, you know, obviously there's going to be a big fight at the end. I was like, you think Creed's going to win? And he was like, I think it's going to be a split decision. And I was like, I think you might be right too. But then I think the stakes are so much higher than the other movies in this fight, you know, not career wise, but just personally, the stakes are so high for both of these fighters. Mm-hmm. I was like, somebody has to win. And I told Aiden, I was like, I want a knockout. I want somebody to get knocked the fuck out. Because I think they're due for just a one punch knockout. And when I got it, I did kind of think,
I felt a little bit of that saying, like,
I don't know, the guy
who has everything,
yeah,
beating the guy who really doesn't have anything. Yeah. I do like that they had that last conversation in the locker room.
I think that's key. And I hope that the next Creed movie will be a Jonathan Majors centered
movie. I
was just
going to say, I think that scene right there, yeah, I think indicates to me that they have big plans, yes, for Dame.
I think
he's going to be a major character.
Who would have thought we would have thought alike. I was like, God, I'd love to see a Diamond Dame movie with Creed in his corner, you know, teaching him how to fight, you know, maybe a little more right, you know, a little more like by the book. I'll watch 8 more Jonathan Majors movies if they're all boxing, because yeah, he's got a lot to prove. He's had one professional fight, you know, 2, I guess. But yeah, I would love to see that. I really hope that's the route they go. But Jonathan Majors is going to be busy, and I think he's going to probably want to do something that's maybe a little more award oriented than more Creeds, but I would love to see that. But yeah, that last conversation they have, I wish it would have been, I know that they're boxers and communication's not their strength, but I feel like there was a lot more that needed to be said in that conversation than just like, sorry, not your fault.
I think they tried to tie up a lot with the, it's not on you, it's not on you either.
Never was on
like
you.
That's,
yeah.
I agree that there's more to be said.
Yeah.
And there probably will be.
Yeah. I hope. I'll watch Diamond Dame fight any day.
At the end of Creed 2, so I guess spoilers for Creed 2 if you haven't seen it, but Creed has his fight against Drago Jr.
Yeah. Who I loved in this movie too. He's great. Drago's great.
He's fun. The end of Creed 2, fight ends. I'm watching Creed 2 knowing that Rocky is not in Creed 3, so I'm thinking to myself, because I didn't know about like the reasons why he wasn't, so I'm just thinking, is he going to die in this one? Is he going to leave? What's going to happen here? And fight ends. And I was kind of building up in my mind, like, how are they going to send off a character like Rocky? Like,
yeah.
I'm almost picturing, like, he goes up the steps one last time and then, like, fades away or something. Yeah. Like, they've got to do something huge to send off one of the biggest movie characters ever.
Yeah.
The fight ends. He grabs Creed's gloves, congratulating him.
It's your moment.
And then he just says to him, it's your time now. And he sits down.
Yeah.
And the camera goes behind his head and it just tracks back as you see Adonis celebrating on the ring. And that's the send-off.
Yeah.
It is just so like delicately handled. Mm-hmm. Even though at that time they might not have even known that that was Sylvester Stallone's last time in this series.
Yep.
And then he goes off to like visit his son, which I think was a great callback. But when I watched Creed 2, that scene really hit me. Yeah. And now watching Creed 3, seeing both Adonis Creed and Michael B. Jordan, seeing how far they've come, how Michael B. Jordan is now just like the brain behind this, what's probably going to be a massive franchise. Like, yeah. He's proved himself mm-hmm. as a director. I'm sure he's going to be a producer in more things. He's going to continue to star in them.
Yep.
And I just kept thinking of that moment. It's your time now.
Mm-hmm.
In one movie, he has taken a series that is just a beloved classic series and character and already turned it into so much more than it was.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to reach for that is amazing, and to actually achieve that and to make a great movie is
crazy.
Incredible. Like, I'm rooting so hard.
Oh, yeah.
For I feel like there's so much life left.
Yeah.
It's like it's a rejuvenation. I just really think that this is going to become, because Michael B. Jordan has said he wants to make animated series. Yeah. He wants to make limited TV series. He wants to make multiple movie series.
Yeah.
He just wants to do so much with this.
And he can.
And I trust that he's going to... He seems to understand that, like, filmmaking styles, like, that's the new life to breathe into this. And I'm sure that he's going to find different creators with different perspectives to put this series or this movie in the hands of this person to give it a different twist.
Yeah.
But to be, like, the producer who's kind of overseeing.
Yeah, it's going to be like the Kevin Feige of Creed.
I think so.
And I love it. I love it. I know, you know, after this, the opening weekend this movie had, I read so many articles like, Michael B. Jordan talks with XYZ for this and talks with, you know, ABC for this. Not actually ABC, it's just a random letter choice. But I'm so excited to see what comes out of this. And I, up until 2 weeks ago, thought the Creed movies, I'd never seen them. I was like, they're probably not for me. Like, Rocky was fine. They're probably not for me. They look seem like they're going to be the same as Rocky. And I have thoroughly enjoyed all of them. So, and this third one, especially, you know, Aiden asked me, like, what's your favorite? We both were kind of torn between one and three. Mm-hmm. I said, first off, Drago's my favorite villain, I think, still. Majors took that spot. But God, I fucking love Victor Drago. And I was like, I think I like the third one more than the first. I think I do. But I mean, he's proven he can direct the hell out of a movie. He's proven he can get a great team together. So if he can keep doing that, I'll watch whatever medium he cranks out. I'll be tuning in. And if Jonathan Majors is in it, double that. I can't wait to see what happens next. I'm very surprised by how into these movies I am now.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there for every single one.
Yeah, some midnight showings maybe. And I am going to start boxing too. So if you want to spar ever, let me know.
I'll hold the spit bucket.
Hey, that sounds good to me.
Speaking of endless content being cranked out until the heat death of the universe, you can find all of our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found.
That's right. If you like what you hear, you can support us by leaving a review on whatever weird platform you're listening on. I think about half of you listen on Apple, and the rest of you are just on weird little services. But leave us a review. It's the best way to support the pod.
Also find us on AM radio.
That's right.
You can grab some of your very own Fast Food Film Friends merch at fastfoodfilmfriends.com.
We've got customized boxing gloves and shorts with...
I got a mouth guard.
Oh,
it's got your face
nice.
On it.
Nice. I'm going to put that in so I never have to drink Pepsi again. And you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Fast Food Film Friends, Twitter at FFFFF Podcast. And you can email us at fastfoodfilmfriends@gmail.com to let us know what we should eat or watch next time.
Until then,
farewell.